I appreciate the privilege of being at Fairview Memorial tonight. Appreciate the selecting me to teach one of the lessons. It's good to be able to stand for the Lord anytime, anywhere. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Appreciate the confidence in me. Appreciate the presence of everyone that's here tonight. I do need your prayers and need the Lord's help. But if you'll come be with us, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. My subject tonight is the Holy Spirit. I love the things about the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for God the Father and God the Son, but I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God too. He is the difference. And us and most of the Christian world are the people that call themselves Christians. The doctrines of the Holy Spirit, spiritual things. A lot of the world that claim to be Christians just don't have no idea. And there are people that a lot of hoopla, hoop hoop hooray that don't know a thing about the Lord. They just don't know the presence of the Lord. You can tell they don't. I'm thankful that I know who Jesus is, and I'm thankful that I know I've personally experienced the Holy Spirit getting saved and in my life. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I know a little bit about Him. But the Scriptures shouldn't be anything difficult about them to me that talk about the Holy Spirit, except to somebody that hasn't been saved. Now, I don't believe people that are unsaved can understand spiritual things, save their life. I don't believe they can. I don't believe they can. They might understand the words, what has been said, but they just don't get what it really is. If they did, our message would be a lot easier to reach out to lost, dying world, I believe. The Holy Spirit's my subject. I want to read two verses from Matthew, 3rd chapter, verse 16 and 17, to get us started. I thought that would be good to use those two scriptures, and then I want to use that with my first point that I make. Matthew 3:16-17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I chose that to get started in this lesson because I think the first thing that we need to understand is there is a triune Godhead. There's a triune God, and lots of people just have all kinds of difficulties with that. There are some who will say Jehovah only. There are some that say Jesus only. But there is a triune Godhead. And I want to point that out to you tonight before I get in just to the Spirit Himself. I want to talk to you about that triune Godhead. Matthew 18:20 is the Great Commission. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, in both of these scriptures, there are three. When Jesus was baptized, Jesus is in the water. And God spoke out from heaven, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. So I see three there. Matthew 18 in the commission, he says to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of means by the authority of. So that's what we do. Not by the authority of the Father alone, not by the authority of Jesus alone, not by the authority of the Holy Spirit, but all by their authority, the triune. That's the way it ought to be, that we baptize in the name of all three of them. John chapter 1 and 1 and 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, I chose that scripture to point out that Jesus is God, just as much as the Father, just as much as the Holy Spirit. But it says He was in the beginning with God. And He's in the beginning with God, and when God was creating things, Jesus was right there. And this scripture says that. He was right there just as much as the Father was. He wasn't there in the flesh then. He hadn't been born into the world as a man. He is now the God-man. He is both God and man. The other two don't have that. They don't have flesh, but Jesus does. Years ago, when I pastored in my first church with Liberty in Norton, Ohio, there was a Jehovah's Witness knocked on my door, and he wanted to discuss the scriptures, and he read a little something and wanted to give me one of his brochures of some kind, something that they believed, and I had something there, and I wanted to give him mine, and I did. And then he wanted to come back and talk about that, and I said yes, so we made an appointment. And he came back, and my family left, got the kids out of the way of what he was teaching, and we had debated the scriptures for about 3 hours, I'd say. We just went wherever he wanted to go, and he said that Jesus wasn't a God, and I gave him Matthew 3, 18, 19-20, and pointed out that there's three there, and he says, yes, but he says the power was given to him. So I took that, I done got beat there, so I went to the scripture in the first chapter of John, and I gave it to him, and you know, it just says plain, was God, and he said, oh, that's that old King James Version. And so he come out with his version and read it, and it was identical, except his said a God. Mine just said was God, and his said a God. And so either way, it's the same thing. And actually, I laughed at him. I shouldn't have done that, but I thought that one was funny. His own book beat him. But there is three, and they were all there when the world was created, and it says plainly that Jesus was there. Genesis 1 and 1 says the Spirit moved upon the water, and that was at the time of creation. And in 1:26, God says, let us make man. Now, he is talking to the Son. He's talking to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. So they all three were there before the world ever was. They existed. There are three of them. Now, the opposition to this is Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, or hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And Jesus quoted that scripture in Mark 12 and 27. And that's the scripture where some of them want to give you just saying there is one God. But they are three persons. And that's the hard thing for them to get together. But they are said to be one. because they're in perfect harmony. They are like a team. They have all of them, all three have the same attributes. They are identical in attributes, but their office difference, and they work perfect, just like a good team that works together. A basketball team has five players, and if they work together, they make a good team, and they are operating as a unit. That's the way that the Godhead is. They work as one unit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We call the church one body. And we've got churches, some of them a lot of members, and some of them just a few members, but it's one body. It means there's one unit. They're a unit. They're one body. They're the Lord's church. And so that's the way it is with the three persons. These three make one unit. They are not, it's not one God with three personalities. They are three persons. God the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. Neither are them is the same. However, they are identical in attributes. They are very, very much the same in that respect. The thing that you need to know is the Trinity works in perfect harmony. And that's why they're called one. It's just like one. You know, a man and his wife and two kids or 20, they're one family. It's a unit. And that's what you need to get in your head about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three persons, and they are not the same. They're different ones. But listen, they make the one God, the unit. Now, they differ in office. I say this, the Father speaks and the Son and the Holy Spirit fulfill or perform. The Son became our sacrifice. He became our Savior. He became our mediator. He became head of the church, head of the body, and He became King of the kingdom. That's what the Lord Jesus had to do and perform. So it took a lot to do all that He had to do. Now the Holy Spirit is the workman in the world, and He does a lot of things, and we will talk about that a little bit later, a lot of things that He does, because we'll get down to talking tonight about Him rather than the triune Godhead. I want to give you some scriptures about the person of the Holy Spirit. He's God, but He's not a man. But He is a person. He is a person. And He deals with us personally, one on one. And we need to get that idea and understand that. In John 14, 15 through 17, the pronoun He and Him identify Him as a person. It has to, don't it? It has to. When He has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that's identifying Him as a person. There's no question about that. In anybody's language, it would identify Him as a person. He says the world can't receive Him because they can't see Him. It identifies Him as a person. And in Acts chapter 13, 2, the Holy Spirit and the church at Antioch said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul to the work whereunto I have called them." I is a pronoun. You can't get around it. That's the way it is. He is a person. And we need to consider Him that way, that He is personally working with us. He is, as I've already said, the workman in the world, and He's doing a lot of things. And boy, I appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit. I can remember a time when I prayed. I thank the Father for what He'd done. Thank the Lord for what He'd done. And I never thank the Holy Spirit for what He'd done. Now I try to do that. We ought to do that. He's one member of that Godhead, and He is the workman in the world. I had a debate with Lawrence Williamson. Says he's a Church of Christ. I don't believe it. I don't believe he's saved. But what he believes is everything is in the Word, and there is no working of the Spirit, period. It's all in Word. And I asked him, I got family in Florida. I said, if you had family in Florida and a hurricane coming right toward them, would you pray for them? If you did, why? And how would you expect something to happen? He said, that's providence. It's the work of the Spirit, too. The Holy Spirit of God is the workman in the world. He can turn that thing or stop it. Amen. It's more than Word. I do believe that the Holy Spirit of God inspired men of old, and they penned down the Word of God that we have. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Everything. Past, present, and future. It said of Jesus, He knew the heart of every man. That's because He's God, just as much as the Father or the Son. He knows everything. I'll give you an example. The man Achan, when Israel crossed the Jordan and went up against Jericho, they were warned about taking some things out of the spoils. And that one man named Achan, he took some... gold and some Babylonian garments and stuff, and he carried that and hid it in his tent. Now Joshua, we'd call him a good general today, I think, but he didn't know anything about it. They went up against Ai, a little place, and that little bunch of men drew the scattered them, and about 30 something people died, and they were amazed, and they were crying out and wondering, what's wrong? Why has this happened to us after what He did at Jericho? And God said unto Joshua, you have sin in your camp. And this was the man. And because of that, a lot of people lost their lives, but he lost his. And his family, too, for that matter. But the point is that I'm making here, He knows everything. Amen. He knows everything. He knows every thought that we have. He knows every mistake we make. And He knows everything that we do right. He knows it all. He knows it all. And that's hard to imagine, isn't it? But He's God, you see. He's God. That's different from us. We're just human beings, and we have lots of problems in this old flesh. Now He's omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. He's spirit. When Jesus was in the body couldn't be everywhere at the same time. But the spirit can be everywhere at the same time, and I don't know how that's possible, really. I just know it is. Because I know that's what the Word says. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. I'm amazed that people, sometimes they'll come into our churches and we have an altar prayer and be a number of people praying aloud, and they just can't understand that, save their life. You know, well, everybody's talking to the Lord. They're talking to Him. But would it be any difference? If God couldn't hear everybody pray at the same time, how about when you folks pray here on Sunday morning and all these other churches in town, well, they have to not pray while you're praying. Isn't that foolishness? He's everywhere at the same time. He's everywhere. So he can hear us all pray at the same time. He knows what we say, all of us at the same time. If he couldn't, it would take a long time for us to get around. Don't you think? There's a lot of people in this world. Talk to him one at a time. Everybody in here tonight, keep him pretty busy if we prayed as much as we ought to, if he could just hear one at a time. But that's not the case. He knows everything, and he is everywhere. Psalms 139:8, he said, if I ascend into heaven, the psalmist said, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. That's been everywhere. Now the big question is, what does he do? What does the Holy Spirit do? A lot of things. He reproves of sin. I feel like everybody's been saved ought to know that. He reproves of sin. If it wasn't for the reproving of God's Holy Spirit, none of us would ever come under conviction or been saved. Nobody that's never been under conviction, they are not saved. I can tell you straight out, they're not saved. I believe I got to say this, but the Pope said Donald Trump wasn't a Christian, and he may not be, I don't know. I can't see his heart, but I don't think the Pope is either. Because he's not telling everybody the truth, saying I'm a vicar of Christ. He is not. The Holy Spirit is the workman in the world. Jesus is the head of the church, and he is not. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God reproves the world of sin. It's that presence of the Holy Spirit when the word is preached or when people witness to Christ and the Holy Spirit was with them. Boy, that's reproving. I know what it's like. I was once lost, but thank God that now I'm found. You don't just reprove, but he strives. There are people said he didn't do such stuff. Is that in the Old Testament? Well, the book says he did. In the antediluvian world before the flood, in the days of Noah, God told Noah, my spirit won't always strive with men. But he did with those people for 120 years, my understanding. And then it was over. It was time for the flood. Had Noah to go out and his family shut the door. He shut the door himself. Just like he said, it won't always strive with men. If you're lost tonight, you have your lifespan. I can't tell you how long that is, but God's in control and he's already appointed your time. That's what the book says. It's appointed unto us. Once to die, and after that, the judgment. Paul said his point of the bounds cannot pass. That's the way it is. Here's one of the things I think that we as Christians ought to pray for a lot, and I try to. He opens hearts. In Acts 16:14, it said of Lydia that God opened her heart as she attended the word. Boy, if we could just get them to listen to us. I'm talking about really listening. Just focusing in on what we're saying. and getting the Word of God. If they would, the Holy Spirit will help us, and I know that it will. He can help more than one preacher at the same time, too, can he? Sure can. Brother Jerry is filling this pulpit on Sunday morning. Most of the time, I'm sure. Same time I am at Buffalo Springs. I know he helps me. And I'm sure he does. Brother Jerry and all of you other brethren preaching the same time that I am. I know he can do that. I know he can do that. But if they would just let God, he'll deal with them. He'd open up their hearts where they would focus on the Word, what it's been saying, and let the power of the Holy Spirit deal with him without turning it off. They'll get saved. That's the way it is. He regenerates. We hear about that all the time by all of our preachers. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven, John 3:3. He regenerates. Well, that's special to me. Jesus died at Calvary to pay the sin debt. And when we trust in him, he becomes our sacrifice to pay our sin debt. But the Holy Spirit is the one that regenerates. That's his work. He makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. I don't want to get away from a subject, but I want to give you 3-5. Except you be born of the water and the Spirit. That's what King James said. Some time ago, Brother Reynolds sitting over there, he said to some people, that word can be translated even, can't it? And I don't believe nobody that was listening knew, and I didn't. But I went home, got in a linear. If you don't know what that is, it's got the Greek, and then under it, it's got the English right under it, every word for word for word. And I checked those words that were written where it said even in the English, and I checked the Greek. Yes, it's the same word as in John 3:5. So, the water is the Spirit too. That's why Jesus talked about the water as Spirit. Be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what he is talking about. The Holy Spirit coming in, regenerating us, staying in there, abiding with us. Like a spring. There's other scriptures, but I'll not take any more time on that. He seals us. Places sealed on us, but Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. We're sealed. And that's what he does. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He seals. Now I'm going to tell you what that is. He don't take something, put some kind of seal on you like that. Here's when you're sealed. When you're regenerated and the Holy Spirit comes in and takes his abode in your heart, you are sealed. Amen. That's what the sealing of the Holy Spirit is. And boy, what a seal that is. He has come in and claimed us as his. We're his. Bought with a price, and he's claimed us. Came in, regenerated us, and made us a new creature in Christ Jesus, taking up his abode there. And what a wonderful thing it is, what he does for us from there on. It's awful good what he's done for us already. He assures. He gives us assurance, the Holy Spirit does. We wouldn't have an assurance without Him. You wouldn't, would you? Wouldn't have any without Him. Ephesians 1 and 14 says, goes on, I read 13, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That word earnest means assurance. You know, you buy a house and you pay down so much, that's assurance that they're not going to lose no money. We have the assurance of an inheritance in the heavenly country when the Holy Spirit comes in and regenerates us and stays right in there. He is our assurance. And there is no other assurance. If you don't have the assurance of the Holy Spirit, you just don't have it. You got to have it. And here's why you got to have it. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8, 16. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. That's the way that you know that you're a child of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness that you are. John said, 1 John 4 and 13, hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us because He hath given us of His Spirit. Isn't that the same stuff, isn't it? Same thing. He's given us His Spirit. He's present with us, and we can feel His presence. And we know by that that we're children of God. We know it by the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are witness. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 gives the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Every one of those are fruits of the Spirit. These things are fruits. Makes us know that we're His. Paul said the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given you. Nobody loves God until they get saved. The very moment that the Holy Spirit comes in, He brings the love of God in with Him. Love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We love Him because He first loved us. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I think love ought to be listed first. It is. Joy. Sometimes I think there's lots of people that say they're Christians have never in their life felt joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now Peter uses that term of knowledge. The Holy Spirit can bring you to that place where you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's been lots and lots and lots of times I'd be by myself. I remember one time I was riding an old tractor, singing a song. Lord come by, and boy, you talk about rejoicing. I was rejoicing. I don't know from whence the joy come from except the Holy Spirit done it. I know that because He's done it so many times. Not just one time, but many times. He's given me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Week before I had that little problem, I was studying Revelations. And I was by myself at home, and I got beside of myself. If the world had been looking at me, they'd thought I'd lost my mind. Well, nobody there but me and the Lord, but I was having a good time. I know what joy unspeakable and full of glory is. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you follow the Lord, stay in touch with Him, and you give Him a little honor and glory in your life, and just sometimes praise Him. Give Him the praise that He deserves. I feel like He'll bless you, give you the same thing He does me. Boy, sometimes it's just wonderful. I'm glad that I know about the work of the Holy Spirit. We talk about peace a lot. I'm not going to cover all this. We talk about peace a lot. But it's special, isn't it? You know, sometimes we have services and people just be rejoicing all over the house. I love those kind of services. But once in a while, there will be just a sweet peace. And I know the Lord's there, whether I'm rejoicing or not. I know. Peace of God is past all understanding. It's past your understanding. You know, the first time I felt that, July 1952, the night I got saved, about midnight on Thursday night, I prayed through. And I know I prayed through because I was praying. And I remember what it said. I had given up. I was just going to hell. And I said, Lord, if I'm ever saved, you're going to have to do it. And I left my soul in His hands, and that was a good place to leave it. Amen. He gave me peace in my soul, and I know He did. I was in worse shape than you could possibly be, I was that night. Nothing else could bring you to that terrible condition like I was in right there just before He saved me. But just like that, all of it is gone. Calmness come over me that I can't explain. It's peace past finding out. I can't really tell you about it if you've never felt it, but if you felt it, you know something about what I'm talking about. The Paul said, therefore we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and we do, brother. We get down and out. Sometimes the world will be falling in around us, but the Holy Spirit is a comforter. And He can give us peace. I'm talking about when the world's falling in around us. He can give us peace. I'm glad I know who He is. He's special to me. I want to hurry along here. He comforts. I just mentioned that. John 14:16, Jesus said, now I'll pray the Father and He will give you another comforter. He had been a comforter to the disciples, but now He was leaving. He said, I'll give you another comforter. He's telling them that He'll be in the midst. Have you ever come into the church and know He's there, but you hadn't felt that real joy, nothing inside personally, but you know He's here. Before He ever blesses you one little bit, you know His presence. There's two different presences, one in your heart. And He's in the midst. A lot of times He's in the midst. I'm thankful, but He comforts. And I got a daughter and I got a son. My daughter was about 6 years old when she became accountable, and she scared me to death. I was afraid I'd say the wrong thing. But when she was 8.5 years old, she came to the altar, and I thought I was going to die. But I fell on my knees, and by the time I hit the floor, I had peace that passed all understanding. And I don't know whether I ever said anything or not, but I stood up, and that little girl jumped off of that mourner's branch and grabbed me around the waist, and she had it too. I know what peace is, and I knew what had happened to her just the moment she did that. I didn't tell her, but she told me that I knew before she told me. I'm telling you, He can give us peace. He can give us comfort in everything. He can give us comfort, and it's wonderful. We're not to resist the Holy Spirit. You don't need to resist Him. Especially the lost people. You don't need to resist them. If you resist them, there's nothing for you. Nothing else for you. You have the Word and the Holy Spirit. And without that, there is nothing. Now, He endues the Word with power. He'll make a believer out of you. That's what He does. God don't just reach in, turn a key, and give you faith like that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When the Word is preached, when the preachers give the message and he preaches and God gives him liberty to preach, the Holy Spirit, he is a witness to the Word himself, and the witness of the Holy Spirit is the power of the Word of God. When it's preached, he makes it real, and when he makes it real, that's why you believe. It's the only reason that a man would ever believe. If it doesn't happen, he won't ever be a believer. The Holy Spirit makes believers out of us. His presence. I could hear those old brothers preach to me, and I loved them. Brother Floyd Lambert, I loved him to death. I wasn't afraid of him at all. But when he'd preach, I'd tremble. I wasn't trembling because it was Brother Floyd, but I could feel the presence of God's Holy Spirit condemning me, and that's what happens, and that's what makes a sinner out of you. That's what makes you need to be saved. That's what makes you believe. The gospel is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, our gospel come not to you in word only, but in power and by the Holy Spirit. If it don't, it ain't nothing in it. It's gifts to come that way. We're not to quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, that is what the Scripture says. It's a very short verse, but we oughtn't to quench him. You shut him out like snuffing out a wick of a lamp or a candle. We ought not do that. We ought to let him have his way with us. We're not to vex him. We're not to trouble the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63:10. And here is a good one that everybody in our ranks need to hear. We're not to divide. My time's run out, but I want to tell you this, and then I'll be done. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If everybody would be willing to take what the Word of God says and listen to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, everybody following the same spirit, there would be no divisions. I think that's an important one. I thank you for listening. Was you ready?